He's worthy to be praised. We invite Him to do miracles. Turn loose of human expectation. Fall back into a place where the impossible becomes possible, says the Spirit of grace. Let your expectation be always, knowing that prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks and all confession before me is not one time, but it's a life that's living. And I am using these things to bring forth the expectation of your heart, says the Spirit of grace. So as you worship me, no matter where you're at physically, no matter what is going on emotionally, step inside that room of expectation always, that the thing that you've believed for is not only in the process of change, but in the expectation of completion, says the Spirit of grace. Do not wait for what you would term a miracle service or some kind of extraordinary events and services to take place. The unordinary and the things that are extraordinary are scheduled to happen in your life, in your services, in your homes, as a result of the very seedbed, the very foundation by which all these things are being prayed into existence, says the Spirit of grace. So with every moment, with every passing moment, stay in the Spirit, says the Spirit of grace. Stay in the Spirit in the service. Stay in the Spirit as you walk and live and move and have your being in Christ. And you'll find these things are occurring and will come online at what the flesh would call unexpected times, says the Spirit of grace. Mekala soto, stand and wait in the place of expectation, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you help me praise Him for just a moment? Would you help me worship Him? I exalt You, Jesus. We glorify You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Right now, Jesus. Right now, Jesus. You're the healer. Right now, Jesus. You're the miracle worker. Right now, Jesus. Not later. Not 2 weeks from now. Not 6 months from now. Not when. Not when, but now. We worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Not then, but now. We worship You, Jesus. We glorify You. Hallelujah. Sing it again. Exalt the song. Exalt the song. Sing it again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, stand behind Him. Stand behind Him, please. Yep. Yep. Okay. Yeah. So in Jesus' name, right now, command this to go in the name of Jesus. Right now, in Jesus' name, forever healed. Jesus, command in the name of Jesus, right now, pain, go in Jesus' name, be healed, receive the healing power, receive the healing power, Jesus, Jesus, thank You, Jesus, thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. For Your name is great. Hallelujah.
And craving to be.
Well, hallelujah. Glory. We're so glad that you are here with us this morning, all of you that are online with us and everyone in here. Grace Christian Center is with us. They're not meeting corporately. They're going through some renovations, but their assignment, I understand from their pastor, Pastor Jim Martin, was to have them come and meet with us this morning. So, Grace Christian, we're glad to have you here, and everywhere that is with us online, we appreciate it. I know Gary and Sue are right over here. Gary was here before I got here this morning, let me know. And so all of you out there, we appreciate you so much. Why don't you greet one another and get a great big hug. I'm coming through the camera into your living rooms, into your homes. Come back out of the kitchen because I need a great big hug. God bless you this morning. Glory to God. Well, we appreciate everyone again being here and Grace Christian being here. And by the way, April 25th is the start of the Dayton Conference. And man, if you want to be cooled, you'll want to be there. That's for sure. I'm not talking about temperature wise, but it's the place to be, April 25th through May the 2nd. So I'll be there and we'll be streaming those services in here. By the way, April 6th, Gary will be here, and I have to clarify that he'll be here streaming. And for some reason, I think this, yep, I got to, you know, I'm like monk. I got to get this thing. It's like, it's a quarter of an inch off. But Gary will be here. And Candy says, you got to tell him because somebody will show up thinking Gary Carpenter is going to be there. Well, he is going to be here, but it's going to be on the screen behind me. And I think this time we've got our dues paid up where we don't. Okay, good. So we found out, you know, experience is a good teacher. And so we kind of figured out what we need to do, or Harry did. So from last time, my church will be here on the 9th. It's a Wednesday night. Let you know. And I told Mike, I said, well, good. You can follow up Gary and just straighten out anything. So he said, yeah, right. It's basically. Hallelujah. Amen. We appreciate all your giving. In just a moment, we're going to give a chance for our kids to go over. Pray for Bailey. She's already out. This is her first week to teach. Yes. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. The loud lady here in the front is one of my daughters. She's an administrator. She's like the head. She's like the associate administrator of a school. And Naples, and yet, and one day, you know, it looks like she'll be the administrator, and yet Sunday school, they're my daughters. So, okay, I'll tell you, I've had to talk them off the bridge a couple times. And yes, you are coming back to church. Why? Because I'm your dad, and I'm telling you, you got to come back to church. No, I'm not coming back I'm not coming back. I don't like the kids, and I don't like their parents either. Well, go pray in tongues, okay? So Bailey, and I said, Robert can go. Somebody said, oh, it's just a bunch of kids. You go over and do it 1 week. Just do it 1 week, okay? And hallelujah. Praise God. And I appreciate. And Robert, I said, you might have to go in there, you know, 6'4", and like, I'm the bouncer in here this morning. Really, we don't have that many. Somebody thought that was cute. Hallelujah. Thank you for all your giving. We appreciate those of you that are giving online. If you go to Grace Christian, of course, you're going to give online to Grace Christian. And thank you all for giving. Thank you. You help us so much, tremendously, and all of you in here. In just a moment, we'll give our kids, they can be dismissed. Hallelujah. The Lord told me at the beginning of the year, this is a time of restoration, financial restoration. So, and I'm not someone that teaches like a timeline is instrumental in like God picks out a calendar date. That's not how it works. But if God finds a culmination of intercessors and authority and a mixture of those kind of things in the all together, then he can bring about a set move. And that's what we're, you know, there's been so much wealth and so many financial problems that have happened in the last 4 years. And the Lord said at the beginning of the year, I want to restore what has been taken away to my people, and not only them personally, but also for them to be able to be a part in what I'm going to do as far as for the future of this ministry. So we're studying along with a teaching Gary Carpenter produced 2 years ago. Last year, I believe, or it might have been in 23. So it's, somebody help me, it's, what's the title? But it's all Financial Kingdom. It's all from formula to relationship. Okay. So praise God. Hallelujah. Come out Sunday night. We're into the third one. I think this is Isaac, Sowed and Famine. If you can't be here, watch it online. This is the second part. So hallelujah. I've heard these, probably heard them twice. I'm going to go back through them because I want my wealth to increase, and I want to be able to be a giver, a more formidable giver. Hallelujah. So come out tonight. Amen. So if you have something to give this morning, we appreciate it. You can give online as well. And there it is. You can do it any of those ways. And praise God. Let's all stand together and give us one more song. And you can wave high across the aisle. But if you have something to bring, bring it down now. And let's get ready for this morning's message. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, we worship you and glorify you for another opportunity to take one more step into the greatest outpouring, the greatest revival that this planet's ever seen. From the time that Christ left us the kingdom until this time, that Lord, that you would do greater works, that we'll see greater works. We'll see billions born again, and the glory of the Lord will saturate us like the waters cover the sea. Father, from one end of the planet to the other, let your glory be seen and experienced. We bless you. Let these words come forth out of the prophetic words of the Holy Ghost this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Harry, I thought maybe later on the service, but the Lord said right to start with, Harry had a dream. And I know it was from the Lord. So this morning we were, you know, we worship a little bit in my office. And he said, I said, okay, thanks. We're gonna see something wonderful. He said, can I share a dream? And so go ahead and share that from last night. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So my dad, so that's that nerve. So he's got a situation. It's not his, but it's called trigeminal neuralgia, and it's a very extremely painful thing. It is trigeminal neuralgia, neuro starting in the face. It's very, very, very painful. If it starts, it's 3, 4, 5 days a week. It puts him in the bed sometimes. So he came up. He's hurting this morning. Laid hands on him. He's doing great. He said, "Hallelujah!" Instant healing.
Well, I had a dream last night. I was invited to a real big church to lead worship, and I was just by myself, and there was just a keyboard up there. It was a room full of, I would say, like young adults, like a couple hundred young adults, and so they didn't do pre-worship there, and it was pretty much time for service to start. So I went up to the keyboard, and there was kind of like a stage director or like an event director that was kind of like just standing behind me, like a few feet behind me, and just like, all right, you know, do your thing or whatever. And so I get to the keyboard and I start playing, but I realize there's no mic. So I'm like, where's my mic? He's like, oh, it's behind you. You got to like set it up. So then I have to stop playing, set everything up. And everyone's just like sitting and watching me. And they're all just like, you know, whatever. So I start playing Forever You Will Be the Lamb Upon the Throne, Gladly Bow My Knee. And immediately I felt just presence fill the room. But everyone's just sitting there looking at me. So I just kind of like start worshiping, and every now and then open my eyes and they're all just sitting there looking at me. Nobody's worshiping. The presence was just so strong. Like, I think in my dream I was probably weeping. And then about maybe halfway through the song, they're like, okay, you know, like they start handing out bingo cards. Like, it's time to play bingo. Like, thanks. Like worship's over basically. Like, that's how short our worship usually is. You know, you can get down now. So they hand me a bingo card on my keyboard, and everybody's just like starting to like fill out their bingo stuff. Like, it's time to play bingo. And I'm like, this place is filled with the presence of God. And we're like, what are we doing? So, I was in shock. So I get off the keyboard and everything. And then I think I wake up from that dream in another dream. And I'm like thinking about the dream I just had. And I just keep hearing myself say in my mind, and I keep hearing the words, I'm glad I go to this church, because that church, no, like they were just like playing bingo. And I knew in my dream, I was like, God wanted to work. He wanted to heal these people. He wanted to touch their lives. But they weren't receiving it. They were just sitting there like, no, it's time to play bingo. We're going with our program. We're used to our program. So I'm glad I go to this church.
Praise God. I'm glad I go to this church too. And when I say I'm glad I go to this church, I'm talking about I'm glad I go to here, Grace Christian Center. What was the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa? Any group that's associated with this type of path. And that's what we want to talk more about, the path, this morning. Hallelujah. Pastor Dave said, I said this Wednesday night, he said you could, now we're changing this a little bit based on our understanding of the present tense. Because we do believe in a worldwide revival, and we do believe in Joel's army that will be like a consuming locust type army, that it's not going to be just the pulpit ministry laying hands on the sick and getting people healed, delivered, set free, and born again, but an incredible, massive army comprised a lot of young 20s, 30-year-olds, and people that are just really engaged. But he used to say you could count on one hand and have fingers left over the amount of churches or people that ever made it into revival. And he would say also that the reason being is the best that you, that's a simple equation. All you ever have to do, it sounds simple, it's not. He was kind of being facetious in a good way. All you ever have to do is get past every single thing that Satan will throw at you as a church and you as personally. He's going to hit the marriages. He's going to hit your finances. He's going to hit your physical beings. He's going to hit you in a lot of different ways. If you can stand those attacks and keep punching back and keep going forward and leaning forward and never stop, there will come a time where you will break through into atmosphere. And so that's true. And so we're believing, here's the truth in that, is that there's really only a handful as a way of comparison to the millions, multiple millions of people that are born again. Let's say, for instance, and consolidate it down to America, there are millions that are born again, but not everybody's believing for revival. A lot of churches are going to be a recipient of this harvest inadvertently just because somebody else prayed it in. But there are a handful by way of comparison of people that will stand as stalwart type intercessors. I'm not giving up. Yes, the debris is hitting me in the face of nuclear explosions, but I'm not giving up. I am not giving up. And if you don't give up personally, you're going to have your personal breakthroughs. And if we don't give up corporately, we're going to have our corporate breakthroughs. Hallelujah. We're going to have those times where we say, my God. And when it happens, we're going to say, how in the world? It seems so simple. I mean, where'd everybody come from? And besides for that, it's not the numerical. It's the atmosphere. And it's the power that we are contending for. So that's why there's such a fight so many different times. Listen, you've heard me say this before. Flesh is flesh. Wherever you go, it's flesh. And it has to go through the changing process to be able to get to a place where it has the authority to be able to initiate the power that brings forth a citywide and a nationwide revival. And the reason why I say flesh is flesh, I've gone places. I've gone to places, and man, when you preach to them, when they hear this, they're like, oh my God, they're so hungry. And they're like, oh, they just soak it in like sponges. And I've left, and I've thought to myself, my God, if I had this bunch, we could have revival in 2 months. That's what your flesh feels like, because they're so hungry. But you know what? If you went there and started preaching this every week, Monday night or Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday, it wouldn't be long that you know what it's called? Everybody say this with me. Impasses. Impasses. Say it again. Impasses are things that you must get through as a church and as people to get to the next level. The first euphoria of hearing this message, everybody wants it. Everybody does. It's when you start on the walk and then you have to do it day after day after day after day after month after month after month after year after year after year, whether or not you'll stay in, because there's a joy, a deep inward joy, but then he'll start coming. I thought, my God, if I had some of these places where I went at times, I thought, well, man, we could be 500 in 2 months based on their joy. But guess what? In 6 months, they'd have the same problems about whether or not they could show up to church or not, whether or not they could, stay off this battle of financial, family, marriages. I want to say this. I am glad I go to this church. Hallelujah. Because you got at least be 4, 5, 6, 7 years of hard knocks. Of hard knocks. Before you can get past. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm listening. I'm listening. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, bring your glory. Touch the hearts. Touch the hearts. Every wall that could be up, tear it down. Penetrate the spirit, the mind, the emotions. Cause those things that be places of citadels, of strongholds, Lord, to be tore down by your spirit in the name of Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. And oh man, Homer did a masterful job on that. God, we had to listen to it 5 times a week. Listen to this prophecy that came Wednesday night from the Lord, as they always do. Candy said, what's the title? I said, well, we'll just name it The Everlasting Path today for the service, because I don't have any notes other than this, some of these, this and I think something else. The Everlasting Path. You don't have that in front of you. Let me read it. 3 paragraphs. Many other paths. But one path I've given to my church. Rich or poor. Male, female. No matter what the nations. In other words, no matter what your nationality. I've given one path, and that is the foundation of my word in Scripture. Says the Spirit of grace. Many will have certain callings in which I'll highlight and bring to a place of where they follow after their particular avenue. Like some people will be more bent, some ministries towards like the prophetic or this, that, or all those, you know, evangelism or those kinds of things. But there's only one path. It is those things that I have laid down for my church worldwide to walk into me, says the Spirit of grace. Those things of the flesh will always prove themselves to be things of the flesh. no matter what they solicit, from excitement and things of appealing to the flesh, as if they offer some quick answer. Now listen to what he said. Know this, that the answers that I've given to you that will establish you are not quick, but they are everlasting, says the Spirit of grace. They do involve you coming to a place of commitment as my church goes forward in these things, but they are everlasting. They will not fail you. They will not let you down in your hour of temptation. And that's not like I'm tempted to steal. That's just tempted test trials. And I think he says that, says the Spirit of grace. They will uphold you even without your solicitation, as if you have to search for these things. In the time of trouble, these things that you've sowed by my word and by my Spirit in you will uphold you, says the Spirit of grace, and you will not even need to search for them nor try to discover. Where are these things? Quote, where are these things? For they'll uphold you in the hour of struggle, in the hour of temptation, in the hour of testing, the hour of trial. Do you know what the greatest walk in the world is? It's not when you're scratching to pull yourself up and get some breath, not to drown under the. It's when you just say, my God, I've come to a place in Him that the place itself, I'm not trying to uphold myself and think happy thoughts. Think happy thoughts. No, you're not. No, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to be destroyed. No, we're not going to get, let's think positive. No, there's a place in Him where it upholds you. You don't uphold it. A lot of the church is on a ministry where the things they've learned, they're upholding it. They're upholding the path. What do you mean? They learned it. They went to a seminar. They went to a convention, or they went to a special. And I'm not against that. We're going to go to one in Dayton. I'm not saying ours is the best, although it is. But the thing of it is, they have to go back and when they're going through a hard time and say, let's see here. What did I learn? What did I learn? What did it tell me? Was it one or two that'll help me out during this time? Or three or four? Or was it on, let's see, was it the prophets? No, this is self-induced. This path is self-induced. It upholds you. You don't uphold it. Do you understand? You don't have to go and try to, I got to scratch something out of this. If you do it, it's self-induced. It upholds you. The buoyancy that keeps you up is the underneath, the undergirding of this path. If you do these things, the buoyancy that keeps you afloat to where you're not even like, I'm not even trying to, I don't know why that I feel so good in the midst of this hell. It upholds you. You don't uphold it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Well, I think there was another. This will be the separation of my church that follows my path in these last days into the fullness of revival, says the Spirit of grace. Now this may sound a little bit, and I'll partly apologize in part, may sound a little egotistical to start with. It's not. It's just to teach. So I got saved at 11 or 12. I think it was 11. I didn't mark the date down. Of course, you don't think of that. That was, I think it was 12 or 13 when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you heard my story. I never went back. Now, I will say this. I need to go back and do. Now, I didn't have a Marty testimony or a Homer testimony or a Gary testimony about being way out in the world. But I wasn't perfect. I wasn't where I'm at now. But I mean, I wasn't walking this walk. So there was a lot of imperfections. But you were always saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. So I've been on this path about 50 years, over 50 years. But I wasn't a choir boy. I mean, I lifted weights, played football, and I would fist fight you if you wanted to. I can't believe that about you, Pastor. Ask my daughter and my wife that Dad has changed through the years. I was not a sissy. But I'll tell you this. Why are you saying all that? I went to church all my life, and my mom was a great teacher. So what's come in and out of the church, I've seen just about everything. You know, the Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. And that's about like in, and I'm not talking about revelation. We're all building on revelation knowledge. And I'm learning from the men that I associate with, the women I associate with, and I'm getting some good revelations at times from others outside of our circle. But listen, I've been, mom had us, mom was a great teacher, but mom went through cycles too. And we went through all of the faith teachers. I mean, I've been to Kenneth Copeland's, you know, his convention. Been to, you know, the healers, Benny Hinn. We went through all of the, you know, some of the more real radical prosperity guys that I could name right now that, you know, and we had that playing in our home, and then we would go to their conventions of Jim. We went to Jimmy Swaggers. We went to this. We went to that. We went to, man, so many different things. So what I'm saying is, if somebody comes to me nowadays and says, have you seen this path? I'm not talking so much about revelation right now. I'm talking about a path. Have you seen this path? This is really neat, Pastor. 90% of the time or 99% of the time, there's nothing anybody says, even though it's a lot of times it's just packaged in a different way. It's being said by somebody else. Listen, they told us, if you'll just, and I'm talking about where we're at now, as in not lowering the bar. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? When I say not lowering the bar, I'm talking about this is the bar, and the teacher is the Holy Spirit, and then there you've got the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you can, that's the bar. And the teacher is the great teacher, the prototype is Jesus Christ. None of us are having yet his results, but he wants us to believe that all things are possible, first time, every time, all the time, that they get healed. And I so appreciate everybody. Listen, the older I get, and I think if I read something later, the old, honestly, and I'm not saying this to try to salvage any kind of thoughts like pastors, like trying to really say that we got it and nobody, don't listen to anybody. That's not it. But the older I get, man, I just appreciate, at times with tears, what other ministries are doing, even though they may not be exactly on this particular path. If anybody's getting people saved, born again, spirit-filled, and set free, I just applaud them and say thank you for it. Thank you so much for it. But at the same time, you will not, just because you're doing that, you will not get me to lower my standards, the bar, by one iota. I will not compromise and say, okay, I'll give up some of this for some of that. I'll die on this mountain. You'll come back and say, hey, Pastor Bronk died on this mountain. He didn't give up any ground. So I've seen just about everything. Nobody comes to me and says, have you seen this path? Yeah, I saw it when my 20s. They told us all kinds of things. If you'll just realize who you are. The problem is you don't know who you are. If you just knew who you are, you'd be able, come on now, you don't know who you are. And I've tried to get to know who I am for 50 years and I'm still learning, and yet I'm still not getting them consistently out of wheelchairs. And there's been people that come in here and elders that have left and said, you know, you're making this thing too hard. The day and hour you just really just relax and say, I got it and I know who I am. And yet I'm looking at them. I'm not trying to be mean. They're still not doing it on the realization, the revelation of who you are. Thank you. They told us, if you just know how righteous you already are. If you just come to the realization that, Pastor, I appreciate all that mortification message, but we can just buy, you can just, that's good. But if you'll just know who you are and come to the understand how righteous you are in Christ. But I wonder why it's still not working. Now you can get testimonies every once in a while from preachers. You know us preachers, listen, I hate to tell you the behind the scenes stuff, but really it's good. We always in the pulpit tell you all the miracles, the things that did happen. Isn't it great Dad got healed this morning instantly? We like to share that, and we should because we rejoice in it. We hardly ever tell you the other, at this point, probably 60 to 70% that didn't get their miracle. So even the guys that you're watching on YouTube, you're like, they're having miracles. Do they tell you that they're not having the equal amount, at least 50% yet? And I'm not condemning that. I'm just saying it's not in just realizing, hey, I know who I am now. That's good. Get to know who you are, but there's got to be something more. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you do what? You present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. And do what? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. They told us, if you'll just renew your mind, if you'll just renew it. Well, it's not just reading and memorizing the scripture. If you go in reverse, the renewing of your mind only takes place when there is a transformation. It's when your mind is so renewed, you're transformed to the image. And the reason why you get transformed to the image is the first verse is that you are presenting your bodies. Does it sound like mortification? I did watch a guy the other day. I think Robert sent it to me. I thought he did real good. A young man I've never seen on a YouTuber. And he kind of wanted to, he wasn't showing off, but he wanted to demonstrate how you can just go on the street and pray for anybody and get them healed. Well, there was a black guy sitting in a corner and he walked over and the guy is sitting there and he can't hear. He can't hear and he can't talk real good. And he goes, sir, can I pray for you? It was real nice. He goes, can I pray for you? He goes, evidently they knew, they must have found out prior. He goes, you can't hear. And he goes, he couldn't hear. And he goes, you can't hear. And he goes, no. So he prayed for him and he prayed for him a half a dozen times. And can you hear now? And he would put his, you know how you do it. He couldn't hear. And then he never did get him healed. Okay, so that's fine. I mean, we've all had that. He never did. The guy was not nice. He was okay for him to pray for him, but he couldn't get him healed. But the kid went back. Kid, I'd say kid. So anybody that's in their 30s is still a kid to me. So he went back and he had his Bible open and he was sitting in his studio and he read out of Matthew 17, which was great. And he read, this kind cometh out not by but prayer and fasting. And he did an excellent job. Because when he got down this kind, he said, now this kind is not the kind of devil. It's the kind of unbelief. And I said, man, you go, boyfriend. You're doing good. He goes, the reason why I could not get that man that I just showed you, I couldn't get him healed and get the deaf ear healed is because of my unbelief. But I'm going to transform into the nature of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Preach. They said it was word. It's all the word and it's word. You know how much we preach around here about word, how much you speak the word and don't speak things, you know, in unbelief. But, you know, oh my God, they said it's the word. And, we went to the Copeland concert, you know, and we, I, you know, I'm not saying anything about, and we learned about how the confession, what you say with your mouth. And then we got, we didn't really get, but I'm just teasing. We got all these word confession police badges. So then you walked around, and then if anybody said something like, yeah, take care, we're like, whoa, because we'd already heard him or somebody go, now let's break down care. Care is depression, fear, if you go to the, you know, unweighted problems. And by the time that definition was given, what you said was take fear, take depression, take anxiety, take all these things. And Pastor Dave said, no, they're just saying take care to not take care. You know, and so we would go around, and I mean, there was years, you know, where we were I wish I had my little pen out here and my Barney badge and all that, but, you know, we were like, you know, somebody would say, see you later, man, take care. And he was like, oh, wait a minute. X you out. In fact, I'll just write you a ticket on that right now. You got a $50 potty mouth ticket. We're going in that just. You can't tell me to take care. I'm not going to take care. And we thought that somehow would bring us into a place and of somehow outpouring. Dave said we gave up everything, even Coca-Cola, and we still didn't have the power. Do you realize there's a place in him not to be conformed to this world? How so? By the renewing of your mind. But it starts in a place where you're presenting your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's how we're not conformed to this world. I know you got the letter this week. Some of you've had the opportunity. Some of you haven't had the opportunity to say, why would you read us your letter you just sent us? Because some people haven't got it. Some people don't get our letters. But if you want our letters, write us and say, put us on the, that's not, you don't have to give anything to get a letter. They're free. But when the Lord said, I want you to share this message this morning. And it was amazing because Harry, you know, he didn't know what this message was about. And it's not about, I think last week we did a message, I'm glad I go to this church, but it's all about this path. And it's a worldwide path. Everybody's maybe there's a lot of people that say it differently, but a path is something different than a revelation. Now, a revelation can come and try to disrupt a path, but when I'm talking about the path, I'm talking about what we term as the four pillars. They're self-induced. If you pray, primarily pray in tongues and spend hours doing that, that's that buoyancy. That's what will hold you up. If you fast, if regularly fast, if you confess and meditate the word, these are self-induced. If you spend time in intimacy, which is private worship with the Lord. So let me read this morning. And like Gary says, repetition is how we learn. So if you've already read this letter, and if you haven't, you know, read it again. The dream of two women. Now, I had this dream. It's amazing. Harry had a dream. That was last night. The dream that I had was last Sunday morning. So, because I woke up to it. And I want you to hear this, and I want you to listen, because it's very important. The dream of two women. And this is March's letter. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now, last Sunday, I had this dream, and I shared this dream just talking, but now I'm going to read through it. Recently, that was last Sunday, of course, I had a dream in which I was standing perpendicular alongside the street was behind me to the edge of a street. To my right and just down the way a little bit was what seemed to be a cul-de-sac or a place for a turnaround. On my right and left were two women. I did not know these women, but I knew something about each of them Both women were Christians and truly loved the Lord. They were sincere about having a walk with Christ that would ever bring them closer to God's will for their life. We all seem to be standing together on the edge of the street, looking across the way through a window in front of us at some kind of activity that was going on. I don't even know what it was. It seemed like it was like some kind of plate glass window we were looking through. And I don't even know what the activity was. There was something going on in a field. I know that. The woman on my left was filled with all kinds of questions and excitement about the path into God that she had recently heard about from a group represented by me and the woman on my right. That path was the path we often refer to as the walk of the Spirit or the four pillars. This woman was ecstatic, to say the least, about the endless possibilities of this path, and yet seemed to be in a quandary. Her quandary was this. What was her quandary? It was, what does she do? What does she do with the path that she was presently on? The woman on my left was accustomed to exciting preachers with lots of formulas on how to experience more of God. She almost wanted to debate whether it was necessary to drop her formula preachers for this new path. My reply to her was, "Ma'am, I really don't care what you decide to do. That's totally up to you. But all I can tell you is this. I've been down the path that you're on right now with exciting formula teachers, and I always came to a dead end. But on the path that I've been traveling for these many years, I've never come to a dead end. I've never exhausted the endless life, strength, and possibilities of this path through praying in tongues, fasting, meditating God's word, and intimate private worship. I also added that there had been many trials, but the strength of this path had never allowed me to be so discouraged as to want to quit." The woman on my right spoke very little, but nodded her head and affirmed everything that I was saying was true. And then the dream ended. Ephesians 4:13 says this, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Paul the Apostle was describing to the church at Ephesus a walk of the Spirit where the Holy Spirit could grow them up into the full measure of the stature of Christ. It would be a path so strong it would no longer be susceptible to every wind of doctrine. That path would no longer find it necessary to be subject to drop the mic preachers with catchy slogans and formulas. It would be a path so certain that it would never feel the necessity to search for what was missing on how to grow up in Christ. It would be a path that would continually grow someone up in the love of God and never leave them vulnerable to false doctrine. It would be a path that would eventually grow them up into the love of God in which there could be no failure. It would be a path where one's own spiritual growth was self-induced and not ultimately dependent on anyone else but the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle respected all the other men who were apostles before him. I'm sure he respected all the knowledge that they had gleaned from physically walking with Christ while he was here on the planet Earth. But Paul's faith in the ministry of the Holy Spirit to him personally superseded anything that he knew he could ever receive from any of the other apostles. This was borne out in his own testimony in the book of Galatians. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. But I certify, in other words, I'm testifying to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not of man. For neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. How many are glad for the Holy Spirit? For a teacher and for a book. Hallelujah. Paul spent a lot of time away in ministry from the main hub of Christianity, which was Jerusalem. This meant that he was always from the mainstream teachings that was coming out of Jerusalem from many of the other preachers trying to gain popularity. Paul was away from the sound doctrine or sound teachings of his fellow apostles, but he was also away from the would-be popular teachings that would begin filtered into the church by what he called false brethren. It was many years between Paul's first and second visit to Jerusalem. And here's the account in the book of Galatians in regard to that visit. Galatians 2, 1 through 6 says this. This is Paul's own account. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also and went up by revelation and communicated to them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation. That would be James and Peter and all the hierarchy there. Lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately or privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Notice what Paul says concerning certain of these men who, in quotes I put, seemed to be somewhat in conference. In other words, these men had seemingly gained some level of notoriety by the things that they were teaching in the church at Jerusalem. But also notice that Paul says something very important in regards to himself concerning these men. They, another quotes, they added nothing to me. Paul was saying that after he had met and heard these men who were so impressive to others, it added nothing to his foundation. Paul did not feel like, I like this part, he did not feel like, wow, the path that I've been on these 14 years has been missing this foundation. If only I had heard these men earlier, I'd be a whole lot further along in my journey with Christ. Quite the contrary. Paul says, in essence, that these men added nothing in value to the path that he was walking. Hallelujah. It's more. Let me just pause right there because I can feel him pausing. After he met them, here's a man isolated. He wasn't going to conferences. He wasn't, and again, I'm not against that at all. There was no emailing. There was no Facebook. There was no this, that. He had very little, if at all, communication with headquarters, which was Jerusalem. And that's where not only was James there and Peter and John, and this was really kind of before they all started really branching out, and most of them died in different parts of the world. But this was before they really started branching out all over the place so much. But Paul is, he goes up with Barnabas. Now, Barnabas is a traveling companion of his. 29 times he's mentioned in the New Testament. So he travels a lot with Paul. Actually, Barnabas was the one that first took Paul and introduced him earlier to the disciples and said, look, you can trust him. He introduced him and said, Barnabas introduced Paul to James and all the rest of them. He said, okay, I've been with him. He's a good man. He's not an imposter. They thought this guy's here. He's come in to try to, he was killing everybody. Now he says he's born again. So he comes in and they says, no, you can trust him. So he goes up with Barnabas and he meets the disciples again or the apostles again. He's been away from them all these years, but he's been teaching the gospel of God or the gospel of the Lord. And so he meets them, but there's also other not original apostles. And these guys have been bringing in a shady gospel or a gospel, an add to gospel. They were adding things too, but evidently what they were saying had gained notoriety because they came into the conference. They were part of the conference. And Paul said, look, and I expressed it in another, those who seem to be somewhat, he uses somewhat. Those who seem to be, I like his sarcasm. Those who seem to be somewhat, in other words, they were pretty impressive to other people. After I met them and I heard them, and their impression was this, it added nothing to me. My walk did not change. My revelation or my strength of the path that I was on, I was not added to by saying, wow, that gave me something that I just never had before. And I'm talking again on the path. I'm talking about the pillars. I'm talking about doing. I'm not talking about a revelation where you say, wow, I never saw that out of the word. That's a really good revelation. But all those things come out of one worldwide path. If somebody's teaching you, that's the thing I loved about Pastor Dave. He didn't say, here it is, it's there. He said, here it is, you do it. Don't look at me. There's no formulas. Anybody that'll give you the quick formula, like, hey, man, it is, I know church has put you in a shell. You've been in a shell. But if you'll just do these things, there's a quick, straight path. And there is. But that path is a path of mortification. It's a path of consecration. It's a path. And Paul said, after I met, I don't know what all these guys were teaching, but after he met them, I was like, you know what, Barnabas? They didn't impress me. They didn't change my life. There's only one thing that'll change your life. That is a path of certainty. And Dave used to say the path to revival is just as miraculous as the revival itself, because it is a self-sustaining path. If you get on it, it's like the escalator at the the moving sidewalk at the airport. You know, you can walk faster on it and you can really pass everybody. But if you just get on the path, it's going to take you to the other end. If you just engage in this and you say, man, I don't think I'm growing at all. I don't think I'm growing. You are growing because the path itself will make you grow. You are getting past panic attacks, emotional disorders, all kinds of things. And there's no formula that's going to take you past that. It's just get on the path and stay on the path. And if you stay on it, you'll get to the other end and you'll say, I don't know how I got here. Well, the path took you there. I'm glad I go to this church. Hallelujah. All the glory to God. So Paul said, you know, it's neat that he wrote that. I love his sarcasm in that sense of the word. No, notice what he says here. Now, also in this same chapter, this just proves the path that Paul was on. We also have the account of Paul correcting Peter in this same chapter of 2 Galatians 2, the account of Paul correcting Peter at Antioch in front of Barnabas and certain men who came down from Jerusalem. These men came down from Jerusalem from James. which was the head of the church. Paul corrected Peter concerning his hypocrisy and separating himself from the Gentiles. And I said this, imagine this. Paul, who had never physically walked with Christ, actually knew more than the great apostle Peter, who physically spent 3.5 years of earthly ministry with Jesus. What kind of walk was this man on? I've studied chronological orders of ages. Paul was roughly about the same age as Christ. We don't know. There's nothing that says one way or the other that he ever met him or even was in any of his meetings. I don't know. I can't teach that. It's possible. It's also possible somehow he just somehow never ever was around, or, he may have heard this man about this man, but he certainly was not discipled by him. And yet his teammate, his number one teammate, which was Barnabas, he goes to Antioch and they're working this church and they're establishing this church. And then when Peter comes down, Peter's like, he's one of the original, right? He's one of the original. He actually seen the Lord, touched the Lord, was with the Lord for 3 years, 3.5 years. And yet when he comes down, Peter gets involved in this hypocrisy, this dissimulation where it's all about what they were eating and or just fellowshipping with the Gentiles. And he separates himself because of old Jewish customary laws. And the reason why is he felt the pressure when these guys came down from Jerusalem, probably some of the same guys peddling the same false doctrine that Paul said originally in that first part of the chapter, they didn't impress me. Well, they come down, they infect Peter, and they infect and affect Peter and Barnabas, and they started withdrawing and separating themselves. Oh, do I love Paul? Because he said, because they were doing it in front of everybody, he said, I said before them all. Now, there's times you go privately to your brother, because Jesus said that. But when there's something going on, and when there's a scandal and everybody's in front of everybody, the scandal needs to be brought out in front of everybody. And Paul said, I said before, it was a drop. He said, I said to Peter before everybody, he said, because everybody, Peter started separating himself. He said, it was so bad and so infectious that my buddy that came there to help me establish the church, Barnabas, he started pulling away. And he said, and I'm just going to paraphrase, he goes back and talks about it. He said, look, Peter, I love this guy out in front of everybody. I mean, he's a born again, spirit filled Donald Trump. He'll fire anybody. He'll get rid of his own mama. He'll say he has no favorites. Peter was not a favorite in front of him. I'm sure he didn't enjoy rebuking Peter, but he said, look, Peter, if we build again what we've destroyed, we've tore down this old, but if we build it again, then we make ourselves sinners. And if we're sinners, then Christ is the minister of sin. What are you doing, Peter? What are you doing? So the whole point of that is this. How could a man who never saw the Lord trump and have more doctrinal revelation of truth than a man that walked? How could he do that? Paul said this, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. Hallelujah. Reading this word and praying in tongues, reading this word and praying in tongues, reading this word in tongues. Well, I'm a doctor. I don't care, Mr. Doctor. I've got 18 PhDs. Now, we got one good doctor. I think he's watching this morning. Thank you, Dr. Jim. But he's a spirit-filled, Holy Ghost, praise in tongues. Listen, you're never at the mercy of anybody or anything or any assault about where you've been, what you've learned formally, if you pray in tongues and meditate this word. I'm glad I go to this church. Drop the mic preachers, formula preachers, and people at times will tell me, and I try not to be mean to them. They say, have you heard this? Have you heard this? That is good. That's good. But I heard that. It was a little different the way they said it when I was in my 30s. But we did that for a while, and we did that for a while, and we did that for a while. And we tried our best to just realize who we were for a long time. And then we were word police for a long time. And everything was a sin for a long time. Oh God, I hate that one. Everything's a sin. Every thought is the other one we were on too. You just go through those cycles. And then after a while you drop the cycles for the path. And then it's everything is like, if you just walk in love, you walk in love, you walk in love, and you just forgive everybody. It's like, okay, I think I've forgiven everybody. Harry, are we good? Yeah, we're good. Are you sure? Yeah, we're good. Okay. Will you just please forgive me if anything possible? And forgive me and you forgive me. And you're after a while, people are saying, you know what? You're making me mad about trying to be so, sloppy, agape, soupy, come on, man. Did you know that you can actually have an argument and not sin? What? We're walking in love. You can raise your voice sometimes. He said, be angry and sin not. Oh, I'm holding a... What? Sometimes you got to talk through something. And Paul did not, I'll guarantee you, if he'd have had to repent over this, he did not repent by saying, hey, Peter, hey, buddy, Barnabas is standing over there. The church, all of them are going, does he know who he's talking to? That's the apostle Peter. Peter, man, you're messing up in here. And everybody's following your example. And you're wrong, Peter. And when he tells him why he was wrong, I bet Peter didn't say a word. And Paul didn't have to go after a while and say, Lord, I raised my voice at Peter. I corrected Peter in front of everybody. I shouldn't have done that. No, God said, write it down where everybody knows. And everybody can see for the future. Glory be to God. Come on, somebody. John 14:26. This is why Paul had the walk he had. Built on but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I say unto you. 1 Corinthians 14:2. This is part of Paul's life. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For it says here, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. We're doing good. Well, I'll have you out of here at noon. Please believe me, this letter is not about not listening to other preachers. I have never advocated or remotely suggested not listening to other preachers outside of what I would call our circle. I have encouraged people to exercise extreme caution to whom they listen. The older I get in age and in Christ, the more I appreciate every ministry on the planet that preaches Christ crucified and risen again. I myself at times listen to other preachers who are not necessarily in my normal circle of influence. I read books throughout the year that are excellent from preachers. If you go into my office, you'll see a stack of books. I'll go through some books and I'll read these and put them aside. I'm a reader, okay? But never, never in 30 years on this path have I ever remotely come to a place where I felt that something was missing on my foundation. Glory to God. I've never heard any other minister outside of this path and felt that this is what I've been missing in my foundation to find more of Christ. I've received countless, I will say this, countless revelations from others that have enhanced my walk tremendously, but nothing has ever replaced or added to the foundation of the path of the four pillars. In 30 years of pastoring, I've seen a lot of people come and go. To start with, they were like the woman on my left in the dream who was so excited about the path she had recently found, but later they became shoppers. I call them shoppers because they began to shop for what they felt they were missing on this journey. They began to shop through lots of other ministries and ministers, hoping to find some valuable gem in the treasury of someone else's path. Again, it is never wrong to enjoy the value of other ministries. But I can often tell when a shopper feels that they are really missing something from this path. What that usually tells me is that the person has not become fully entrenched in the value of the treasure they already have been given of the four pillars, or that they have somehow slacked off by replacing them with something else. But I'm sure that I'm writing this. Here's an affirmation to all of us. This letter to a group of people who are present or represented by the woman on my right in the dream. People who are convinced, settled, and doing the message of the path that has been set before us. There's no replacement for personal prayer time spent with God. There's no replacement for personal meditation of God's word. There's no replacement for time spent in private worship with the Father, and there's certainly no replacement for consecrated times of fasting before the Lord. I feel like Peter said in his second epistle, when I consider this foundation, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do a salutation that Candy and I love, appreciate you all. With all of our hearts, thank you for your faithfulness in prayer, support, and helping us receive this great outpouring of God's Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The greatest outpouring this planet has ever received. Jesus' name. Revival. Outpouring. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Have you had a good time today? Jesus, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. Hallelujah. Join hands. Go to the end of the aisle and cross the aisle and join hands together. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. I know you were. Thank you so. I'm so glad. The pain, he's still over this. The pain is, no, okay, this is not what I saw. You got to go across. You got to connect. That's what I meant. I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, you got to connect. Okay, we got to all connect. Everybody's got to connect. Okay. I'm connecting to you in the camera this morning, wherever you're at, Grace Christian, all you people in Tulsa, all you people out west, every place in Georgia, Tennessee. Hallelujah. One body, one Christ, one Lord, one Spirit. We stand in this. I'm glad, and it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about the physical location. I'm not talking about who your pastor is. I'm talking about there's one path, and that is the path into God, the foundation of His truth. So this morning, in Jesus' name, let's say this together, meaning not just this church, but this path. I'm glad.
I go to this church.
That I'm on this path. It's a self-sustaining path. I will not get off of it. I'll allow other good revelation. But I'm connected forever. To this body, to this church, to this path. To receive this revival.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless. I will see you tonight. Amen.